time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes, we are back. Crystal clear in your ear. You already know what it is. You know, we stepped into July.
Damn.
Hotter than July. Stevie saw it coming, man, for sure, man. How you doing in this heat, Muhammad?
I'm in the AC, player. Yeah,
nice.
I don't even know how hot it is out there. It's about 70, 69 around here. Nah, but I went out early, but I got back in before the sun got too hot. So it was it was nice when I went out. Went to check on the progress on the motherfucking Lex Land.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I got no good news to report. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas ain't even did. No, actually, they I thought they hadn't done no work, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Because they told me the shit was going to be up on the motherfucking lift last Monday. And it should be ready by Friday. It wasn't ready Friday. So I gave it a beat. And I was like, I'll just go up there because I ain't hit nothing yesterday. So went up there. They had done a couple of things, but it was a one piece that they hadn't done, the main piece, because they said the bolt that went to it was rusty. But my nigga had already told me he was going to cut that shit off, you know what I'm saying, and replace it. You know what I'm saying? So, but I guess he wasn't there, so, you know what I'm saying, they was tentative about doing the shit, and then he'll come back to tomorrow. So, we'll get that shit done. And then hopefully be home next week.
All right.
So that, you know, that was my morning. And then, you know, came back in and jumped down on some work because, you know, I'm back to it now. You know what I'm saying? Rest time is over. I done read enough clouds. You know what I'm saying? I done seen enough sunshine, nigga. It's time to get back to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm back on my deal a day scenario, which is, you know what I'm saying, initiate a new deal every day. You know what I'm saying? You know, once them bitches start closing, then you good. You know what I'm saying? But if you ain't initiate no deals when whatever you got dry, you ain't gonna be nothing else coming. You gotta jump back up and sell. Nobody wanna do that. So
right.
I'm on my deal of day game right now. And trying to get out in this world, you know what I'm saying? Make shit happen. You know what I mean? So that's where we at. It's been cool today though.
I hear that.
Bevy was in town this weekend.
Okay.
So hung out with Bevy. Went to brunch with Bevy. You know what I'm saying? You know, dinner with Bevy is our brand. So we was at brunch.
Right.
Her, and then, you know, she got a whole squad of friends down here, so the whole little crew. We was all kicking it. Shout out to Miss Lawrence, Derek J from the Fashion Queens. They was up there. So it was cool. You know what I'm saying? Nice little Sunday fun day.
How was the food at the brunch? I'm not the biggest brunch guy because I feel like the vibes sometimes supersede the food. But how was the food at the brunch?
Well,
how was Bev and everything else? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we didn't go to like the brunch spot. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
where it'd be, you know what I'm saying, the spot.
Got it.
So this was like more of a quiet little spot. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
In the neighborhood, which I was surprised because when they sent me the venue, in my mind I was thinking, because this is a little small spot. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking, these personalities gonna be too big for this place. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna be a problem. These niggas too big. Loud, laughing, you know what I'm saying? A lot of big purses, you know what I'm saying? So, but it actually fit, you know what I'm saying? We went to a spot called Le Petit Marché, I think it's called. It's a black-owned French spot.
Oh, I bet what's her name's father's or grandfather's spot, Portia's people's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, La Petite Marsh. Virginia Marshall, Highlands Marshall, or some shit like that?
No, it's in Kirkwood.
I've been there. They got good ass food, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So we went there. I know it. I've been there a few times because that's a spot where Amir used to live right across the street from it.
Okay.
In Kirkwood.
Yeah, I forget who was his name, but he's like, I think Hosea. What's my man's name? You know Hosea, the old school civil rights cat. Yeah, yeah, that's his people. Yeah, and that's
on that street.
Yeah, man, you know, there it is.
Yeah, so it's on the street name right there. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's our people.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost positive. Yeah.
Yeah, so we went there. It was cool. The food was good, as you know what I'm saying? And shit, good time. Then I drifted on out into the world, back to the motherfucking lab, because that's where I need to be.
right. I hear that.
Well, what's good with you?
Man, similar to you, I'm about to get back on my Monty Hall. You know what I'm saying? Who's get Monty out here Hall? Trying to. I was the host of Let's Make a Deal back in the day. Monty Hall. I don't know why I still remember that nigga's name. Monty Hall. That's old school. But, yeah, man, I think I'm off the road for a little bit. We just this weekend I was out in Batavia, Illinois. Shout out to the Comedy Vault. Shout out to Batavia, finally saying it correctly. You know, had a good ass time out there. The shows went well. Good people came out. You know, like I said, the staff was excellent, real attentive and shit like that. My man Jason Acevedo hosted. Cat Peyton Ruddy featured. This kid Jack Baker featured one night. We had a good time, and we had some people in the building. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to we had a couple, you know what I'm saying, listeners, some conversationalists. Shout out to Omani. We had some what my man Al, Will, you know, a few people came through, some new fans came through. Shit was fun. I had a good time. It was hot than a motherfucker out there, you know. So I was outside sparingly, and I actually Batavia is like, you know, depending on the time of day, it's at least an hour away from Chicago. But I rented a car, so I definitely took a little pilgrimage to the to Hyde Park. Not the full on South. So I went to Hyde Park, got me some Harold's, got me some Italian Fiesta. You know what I mean? Like, just drove around, just got soaked up a little bit of that Chicago. Just, you know what I mean?
That summertime shot.
That summertime shy. You know what's so funny? Speaking of that, I went to this spot. I think it's called Benny's or Bimmy's. I think it's Benny's. It's like a, it's basically, I guess it's the Illinois equivalent of Total Wine, right? So it's like a wine and beer spot, right? And Chicago's such a black ass city, man. And I was going to put them on my stories. I might still. They got there was like in the beer section, there was there's a bunch of beers. There's this brewery out there called Funky Town. Funky Town Brewery. It's like founded by three black dudes.
And they made a song, did they?
Which one? Oh no. I'm take the two. Who is that? Funky Town.
Funky Town. But then they had a company. I think the company was Funky Town Productions. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It seemed like they would continue it. And then I met the nigga at Jack the Rapper, and that famous Jack the Rapper in 93.
Okay.
And it's a whole little story, but the nigga who produced it was on the panel and asked a bunch of stupid ass questions. But anyway, go ahead.
No, that's what's up. That's Lips Incorporated. That Funky Town came out in 1979. Now these cats, they way younger, so I don't think these, unless they the spawn. Yeah, unless they the Funky Town, you know what I mean? And you know what I mean? The kids.
But I think he was just very animated and very, very like, come on, man, let's do this. You know what I'm saying?
That's what, on the panel?
No, he wasn't on the panel. He was asking questions. And
oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry about that. But this, the Funky Town dude got up and asked this question, which relates to the day, which is crazy. Okay. He got up, and on the panel was Suge, Puff, Dream Hampton, and somebody else. And this was before the fight broke out, and you know what I'm saying? And all the Death Row niggas was in there. Snoop now was sitting right in front of us. Rage, the whole Death Row. So he got up, and you know, he asked the typical conference question. with all of these millionaires we got, why Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, and you know what I'm saying, he included Puff Daddy since he was on the panel, get together and just start a distribution company. And Puff was like, nigga. You know what I'm saying? He like, man, I understand. It sound good. You know what I'm saying? I would want to do something like that, but I don't want to be the one who house they knock on the door at in the middle of the night and left it at that. And nigga was like, damn, what the fuck he know? You know what I'm saying? But he just left it at that. You know what I'm saying? And now here you go. They done knocked on this door, man. This nigga fighting for his life out here in the jails.
Look at that. Yeah. Verdict watch pending while we're recording.
Right.
But yeah, these cats, again, I'm not sure if they, I don't want to get no IP situation started, but they got Funky Town Brewery. And back to what we were saying, like some of their beers have ill names, but one of them is called Summertime Shy. You know what I'm saying? There's Black is Beautiful. There's Gym Shoe Weather, you know, because they call sneakers gym shoes out in the Shy. They got a beer called Cuffin' Season. You know, a bunch of that type of shit. So it's kind of cool just to see, you know what I mean, some black brewers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, so that was that. What the fuck? Yeah. But I was out there for a quick minute. Had some Harold's, you know what I'm saying? That shit.
Did Chicago.
Yeah. I had to go get some Harold's. Got an Italian Fiesta pizza. You know, shit was fine. It was a vibe, man. I was happy to do that. I also went out to this city called Aurora. I think Aurora. I don't know if it's primarily Latino, but I know there's definitely a large, particularly, I want to say, Mexican population out there. So I went to this spot called Taqueria Durango at the suggestion of one of the cats at the club who was from Aurora. He was like, yeah, man. You know, I'm not even a super Mexican food guy, but he was like, yo, that Al Pastor tacos are fire. So I was like, let me go ahead and go out there. And that shit was fire. It was one of them greasy spoons where the price is nice and they heavy-handed on the portions. Like, just one taco could put you down. I had two tacos, just, you know what I mean? I'm just thinking tacos was going to be skimpy dimp. Nah, them shits was serious. So I had to power through a little bit of the itis on my first. I had two shows that night. But it was a vibe, yeah. Salute to Illinois. Had a great time. What else, man? That might have been really that I could remember. That was the big part of last week. You know, some other shit might have happened, but you know, I was out there traveling, man. Just having a good time. I'm happy to be back. You know, and we in the world.
Welcome back.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Shout out to the Shy. Summertime Shy.
Yeah, salute to the Shy. Salute to the Shy.
No doubt. It's about to be 4th of July, this bitch.
You know?
What you got planned?
White Juneteenth. Yes,
Dang.
Sir.
The white Juneteenth.
You know? You know what I mean? That's what they do. Yeah, man. Yeah, 4th of July coming up on a Friday, which is nice. What do you do on the 4th of July? What's your typical 4th of July like? You have plans or go with the flow?
Nah, I mean, you know, I be going with the flow and all this shit because long time is just like, nigga, I just be like, what am I doing for the work? You know what I'm saying? So
been to Essence Fest
a lot, you know what I'm saying? It's usually stuff to do, but I don't have like regular 4th of July plans unless somebody having a cookout, you know what I'm saying? I think my family doing something in Miami. I'm still debating if I'm going to go. So I usually join the other celebrations, for real. You know what I'm saying? New York, 4th of July is summer. You know what I'm saying? It's always something on your local neighborhood level. You know what I'm saying? Summertime in Brooklyn is always a block party. You know what I mean? On somebody block. If shout out to Lloyd, rest in peace. If they, you know what I'm saying? If they got the bread style, usually have some type of little block scenario, you know what I'm saying? I DJed that a couple of times, and I don't even DJ, but he was like, man, go ahead, DJ. I'm like, okay, Jack. And it turned out real good, you know what I'm saying? So Yeah, which is crazy because when you know, Lloyd died of COVID, he the first person I knew died of COVID. And
Oh wow, okay.
And so it was, you know, obviously it was the pandemic, and I had did this motherfucking art piece, just a collage. Mm-hmm. And most of the pictures that I pulled from was from 4th of July. One year, mm-hmm. they had a little something on the block, and I was DJing. So I just pulled a lot of those pictures and put it and recreated the block on the days when they do shit like that, and as a tribute, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's a big 4th of July memory. Other than that, you know what I'm saying? I just go with the flow.
Right, yeah. I hear that. Similar. I don't really. I play it by ear. If it's something going on, it's something going on. I'm working that night. I should be at Comedy in Harlem that night, so I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I'm going to play it by ear, man. I'll be honest with you, and I've said this before. This is refuge weather. You know what I'm saying? This is where you hide out with some BTUs. You don't play no games, man. This is I be ducking a lot of this heat. This shit is ridiculous. You cannot convince me that global warming is not real, especially around this time of year. Boy, this shit is crazy. So yeah, man. That's what I got. Typically, I like to either go somewhere with a nice grill situation, or I do something at the crib. You know what I mean? Do something nice to eat. You know, maybe. Maybe steam some crabs or something, you know, mm-hmm. some shit like that. Something just regular chill shit. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's really it. That's really it, man.
Yeah, I gotta see what's cracking 4th of July. I didn't even look into it. I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, nah, same. Yeah, that's it. What else is good? What you been up to? What you been? You been watching anything? You been in the world outside? I know you trying to get that deal today, but. You know,
I've been outside a little bit. Nothing special, nothing crazy. It rained a lot, so outside kind of been a little wonky.
Okay.
So, you know, in those weeks, you know, I do my walk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Try to get my transmissions and tune in to the universe and shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What else been happening? Again, man, I've been consumed with getting shit done because I've been on a shit. What's this? About 6 month vacation seem like, you know what I'm saying? Not a vacation, right. But a place of just to reinvigorate. You know what I'm saying? Just to purge all my negative energies and to accept all my positive energies. I've been in that space, so that's what mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying. The walks have been good for, you know what I'm saying? I've been journaling a lot, been doing a lot of writing, a lot of introspective shit, you know what I'm saying? My homeboy came through and, you know, I was writing in my journal and shit, and a nigga asked me what I was writing.
Like, whoa, brother.
Wait a minute now. Yeah, go now, get your own. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like I never really had nobody ask me what I was writing in my journal.
Right. It's a valid question, but it's also like, hey, yo, it's my journal. It's my journal. I'm talking.
Because my journal be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people journal, they write the day, okay, this is July 1st, 2025, did this, did that. That ain't how mine go. Mine is like more of a stream of consciousness, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just, I might get a thought, I just blurt it out on the paper, you know what I'm saying? Half ideas, half, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, self-mirror talk type shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I'm like, how do I even explain that shit? You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how to explain what I wrote in that. I don't even remember what I wrote in that motherfucker until I read it back at some point. But I just mm-hmm. needed to get that shit out. You know what I'm saying? So you had to tell him, hey, man, listen. You know what I'm saying? This shit just to get out. You know what I'm saying? It's just a stream of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Yeah.
So I felt weird about that. But, you know, I held the line.
Yeah, it is. I had a conversation about journal writing and journal entries and things like that. And I got two questions for you. One, Are you writing it longhand or are you typing?
No, I write it. I write it longhand. Okay, no cursive. I write it. I have to write it. You know what I'm saying? Like, typing and writing is two different things. I could type ideas. I could type a plan. But my stream of consciousness, I need to put hand to it. You know what I'm saying? I can remember it.
Right.
It makes it real to me. You know what I'm saying? To take what just popped in your head and let it flow through your body and come out your hand onto the paper makes it real to me. You know what I mean? And I don't know no other way to explain that, but in the stream of consciousness world, I tried typing it before, and that shit didn't work. It seemed like I ain't even do it. You know what I'm saying?
I could dig it. Yeah, I understand.
So you know, I got my journals, and I got stacks of them at this point. I got a whole bin full of them bitches. You know what I'm saying? Right. So you know. That's just my process. I don't even know if that shit ever makes sense to anybody. That's probably how hieroglyphics is in the pyramids and shit. Niggas be trying to figure that shit out. They was just like, nigga, we was just stream of consciousness out this bitch.
What was going on?
I don't know. I just, you know what I'm saying? That shit popped in my head. I chiseled that shit in the stone. You know?
Nah, I agree with that. Yeah. I'm the same way.
I was about to switch up, so go ahead.
Okay, because I got two more questions, actually. Uh-huh. I added another question, but you know, I agree with you on the writing longhand. I've typed sometimes too, but like, writing longhand is, to your point, like, I like the flow of it all. You know, sometimes it feels like my words are even faster than I could write. You know what I mean? Which sometimes if I look at how I write in the journal, that shit look like scrawl. That shit look manic as fuck, you know? But so two more questions. So the other question is, do you pull punches? Do you hold back or do you go all out? Like, you know, I was talking to somebody and they were like, there might be a fear of somebody discovering their journal, so they don't all the way put their full thoughts in the journal, which kind of in their mind undermines even journaling. So I'm curious where you at with it.
Nah, I don't think about nobody looking at my shit,
right?
Because I don't even think motherfuckers understand what the fuck I'm talking about anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I done lost a journal. I was kind of worried at that one. The first time I lost one, I was like, I left it in a plane, nigga, in the back of the back of the seat.
Oh, that's the worst. That shit done clean. That's so many casualties in that motherfucking seat pocket, nigga. I done lost a full iPad in that seat pocket before that. Yeah, that shit hurt my heart. Nigga, iPad killed me. A good iPad mini. My first one. I had the shit. The shit was, it was inscribed and all of that shit. I was sick. To this day, I'm sick about it. Somebody fucking around with my old ass iPad.
Fucking around reading my journal. They ain't understand that shit. But anyway, I let loose of that. You know what I'm saying? I did go to Barnes & Noble this week, so that was cool. They pissed me off, but it was cool. Not that it was their fault, but you know what I'm saying? You know, Barnes & Noble is becoming a dying breed. You know what I'm saying? So they changing shit up. And
wait, hold that thought real quick. My last question about the journal and shit. Do you have a specific pen that you rock with?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's a Pilot, Precise V5.
Got it. Okay.
What's that? 0.01 millimeter.
Yeah,
I've been rocking with that bitch for about 2 decades.
Got you. Yeah,
and
I feel you.
The reason I started rocking with that particular pen, not that it's fancy or no shit like that, I just like the way it moves. You know what I'm saying? I like the way it feels across the page. I like the way it looks. But the catalyst for me writing with that particular pen was I was, you know, working at Vibe or whatever. I lose a pen every 2 hours, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, where's my phone pen? Then you get to go grab another one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I just felt stupid one day, like, damn, I done lost 3 pens a day. This is fucking ridiculous, okay? I need to fucking hold on to my pen. And I devised a scheme to hold on to my pen. So I went to the store. I ain't get the ones out the closet at the office, you know what I'm saying? I went to the store. I bought the pen that I liked at the time. You know what I'm saying? And it's a pack of four. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm going to take this one, I'm going to put this four up, and I'm going to try to hold on to this motherfucker as long as I could. You see what I'm saying? Right. And then I got to the point where I could keep it. You know what I'm saying? Where it lasted. I done ran out of ink in a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying? All it took was a little intention. You know what I mean? So I've intentionally kept buying that same pen. Just, you know what I'm saying? I ain't even tried no other pens because that's the one that gave me the, it felt like it made you responsible. You know what I'm saying?
I dig it. Yeah, nah. Yeah. I use a Pilot Precise myself, but I do a V7.
Oh, word.
I got a V7, or I'll do a Bic Velocity. That's another one. That's the second. That's the secondary. They got two totally different feels to it. But keep going. Okay. I cut you. Go ahead.
No. So, you know, I use Moleskine journals.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, at times when you ain't got no bread, you just got to go with what you got. You know what I'm saying? Get you a regular old, you know what I'm saying, seventh grade college rule. Yeah.
Right.
But
go back to the mead.
Right. Yeah, yeah, but on a day-to-day, I get a three-pack of Moleskines, not the hardcover ones, but the soft-cover ones. Because I've had the hardcover ones. They just get too, they be just too big, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, why do I need a hardcover, you know? So I ended up just getting the three packs of the soft covers and the Pilots and going from there. And then I usually go to Barnes & Noble's on Sunday and go through the whole fucking rack of books that I want, put them on the table, and just discover. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the more we got the algorithm, the more important I think that is, because I just go with whatever grabs my attention and flip through it till I see something that resonates. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times without a purpose or a plan, it's just, I'm going to just go find information that I think is interesting. And with that, with books and with magazines and stuff, you could find stuff online, but it's just so much stuff that's targeted to you that is more difficult. So went to Barnes & Noble this week and got into some shit, you know what I'm saying? And the problem was, I have a routine when I go there. And I'm not even a routine type of person, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to this, I am. When I go to Barnes & Noble's, I get a motherfucking coconut green tea. You know what I'm saying? Medium size with, you know what I'm saying? The formula is right. And a sugar cookie. That's how I get going. My mind is already, okay, this is what we doing. All right, we going to learn. I went there this time. They don't sell the coconut green tea no more. I've been drinking that shit since 1999.
Sheesh. R.I.P.
Damn, like, what? Nigga. She was like, that's, we got worst. Regular green tea. I was like, that's never mind. It probably sounded indignant, but it fucked me up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they got it on sale, but they don't sell it behind the counter no more. Because when I asked her, she was like, we don't got that. I'm like, what? And I walked over, got it, and showed it to her. They usually be like, oh, yeah, we got that. She was like, oh, yeah, we don't sell that no more. You can only buy the can of it. You can't buy it at the counter.
Oh, man.
Threw my little day off. But I pushed through anyway. I pushed through.
Okay.
And I found a magazine that was new. You know what I'm saying? It was a new magazine. And it reminded me of like 1999 when Fast Company was a fresh magazine talking about new ways people work, which, you know what I'm saying, partially inspired 21st Century Hustle. Because I'm like, well, let's do this the black way and let's do it, you know what I'm saying, a little further into regular people. They got this new magazine. It's called Digital Frontier. And it's the same thing, talking about where we at now. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know what I mean? Which is, it's an interesting place because we get lost in the AI. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is a book that kind of covers that. And you know what I'm saying? The whole reason I go to the Barnes & Noble was to look for things without algorithm confusion. And so one of the quotes of that motherfucker, it was like, in an online world run by algorithms, What place is there for serendipity? Meet the internet explorer saying no to spoon-fed content and yes to randomness and spontaneity. And I'm like, damn, that's the whole reason I do this shit. So, you know what I'm saying? It ain't shit, but it was a sign. You know what I'm saying? A sign to say, keep doing that shit you do. You know what I mean? So that was a highlight.
That's what's up. Well then, yeah, all right. So it worked out. I mean, they ain't had a coconut green tea, but they hit you with the digital frontier. All right.
But then it just showed me how this place probably ain't gonna exist in a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Today,
when I went to go check on the truck, it's a Barnes & Nobles that used to be down there that's been closed for probably about a year now. And that shit's just still sitting there empty as fuck, just as a reminder that, nigga, that shit is crumbling. That world is crumbling. You are entering a whole new space. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, nigga, we're going to be looking at something totally different. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And shit, I don't know where the fuck I'm going to be. I might not be here, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
What the fuck this shit finna be? It's like watching a crumbling world that nobody sees around you except for you right now.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy to think. You know, I saw maybe about a year ago, there was this whole thing about Barnes & Noble's rehabbing about 800 to 1,000 stores. Mm-hmm. Like they were doing all these new stores. And the one up the block from old Stand Up Labs, they redid that in a way to kind of like make it feel like a independent bookstore, which is funny too because, you know, I guess it's the hierarchy of displacement on a certain level, right? Because then, you know, like there's Barnes and Nobles who may have killed the humble local bookstore on a certain level. Not killed it, but like, you know... You know what I mean? Even though they seem to be coming back sparingly, but then there's also Amazon that's fucking killing off Barnes & Noble. So it's wild. But the thing, speaking of Barnes & Noble, it's funny that you brought them up, and I got to check it out. I believe if tradition holds well, July is when they typically do their 50% off sale for the Criterion Collection DVDs and Blu-rays. So if you into any of that physical media, this is a good time to get your shit off. And they got some good ass. I don't have a Blu-ray player, and it's sad because I'm thinking, should I get a Blu-ray players aren't as expensive as they sound. Mm-hmm. Even though this is still all physical media, there's a part of me that's thinking, because now these Criterion joints are not being made in a DVD format. It's like Blu-ray or nothing, right? And they got the most latest, the two that I'm kind of interested in copping. They got the Criterion Collection of JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling. Mm. You know, that's the Richard Pryor, you know what I mean, joint. And then they got Killer of Sheep, the Charles Barnett movie, which I've never seen, but I heard it was good. And it's funny because one of the illest descriptions that made me want to watch it was this other comic, I don't know his name, Young Black Cat. We did a show together and we just started talking about a bunch of like just film. And he was like, he said that Killer of Sheep, he says, the best movie to showcase black male depression. Dang. But not in a way where it's like some old dramatic or like ridiculous. He just said the way that they do it. And I've never watched it.
And which one is this? I can't really.
This is called Killer of Sheep. It's Charles Barnett's movie. And like it's like very heralded. Like a lot of people love this movie. Like it's a classic amongst, you know what I mean, filmmakers, particularly black filmmakers. Like he's an OG. He also has that movie I've talked about before, To Sleep With Anger. That's real good.
Mm-hmm.
But they just did a Criterion Collection. It shit came out like in 78 or something like that. It's an old ass movie. But they just did the Criterion Blu-ray. So I'm curious to see that. And then, you know, I'm curious to see, you know, the Criterion, their whole shit is all of, one, they restore the movie, but then it's like all the supplemental shit that they have, like the interviews and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious about that JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling, because I like that movie a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, like, what type of shit that they get on the supplemental. They have Rich talking, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that type of vibe. But, yeah. So, allegedly, I'm not sure. I mean, I look while we doing it. Barnes & Noble is known to do the Criterion collection 50% off sale during July.
Shit, I ain't never heard about that.
I
ain't got no Blu-ray, but you making me think about that. Because I do drive a 86 sometimes, and that motherfucker, he got a DVD, a CD player in it. CD is the quality is way superior than the goddamn phone. Okay.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know what I'm saying? You don't really notice it till you put in a motherfucking CD. You're like, wait a minute. Nah. I forgot how this shit sounded. And it also makes you take your time, because I used to put, you know what I'm saying, my speaker, you know what I'm saying, in the Bluetooth, you know what I'm saying, so I have some new music, you know what I'm saying? But when I took Merlot to the shop, I had took it out and I just never put it back in. So I just been rocking with the CDs. And I ain't got that many CDs. Mm-hmm. But I got a few. I got some, you know what I'm saying? And I bought some at Barnes & Noble's a while back. I bought The Chronic, and I bought Wu-Tang first album. And then I had some others that was just around. And I was on the Wu-Tang album at this point. And when you got a CD, you take your time with the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't just skip through it and then take it out and do something different. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you know what? Let's let this rock. Listen to some shit I probably ain't never listened to before on the album. You know what I'm saying? Started realizing how funny Ghostface was on the goddamn skits. You know what I'm saying? And I know he be doing them on his own. Like, he be recreating skits. Like, he'll take some shit from a movie and then say it out with his own voice. This nigga crazy.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Like, on one of his albums, this is not the Wu-Tang, man. One of his records, like, The Champ, I think it's called The Champ. And they were talking about, it was like Howard Cosell talking about Muhammad Ali. But then Ghostface be doing the talking, you know what I'm saying? Because he'll throw some shit in, like, some Shaolin. Like, wait a minute, Howard Cosell didn't say that. And then he be like, oh, shit, Ghostface in this bitch wild. But anyway, so I was on that damn Wu-Tang album. And I never liked Protect Your Neck as much as I like it now. You know what I'm saying? I heard it, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was like the first single I heard of them, you know what I'm saying? But then when I play it in Merlot, it just, the sound just right for the time, you know what I'm saying? The sound right for the old speakers. It's just like, this shit hot, you know what I'm saying? You better protect your neck. I played that bitch back and forth for about 2 days straight. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this shit hype. But it throws you back to a different time where you took you more time with the music. Like with the new shit, you just skip around. You know, let me go to some Afro beats. Let me go to some you know what I mean? But when you got one CD, nigga, you're like, all right, let me go back to number three and you know what I'm saying? I got more respect for ODB, you know what I'm saying? On that Shame on a Nigga. I'm like, ODB ride on this bitch.
Yo, quietly, ODB got two of the best fucking albums in the whole Wu-Tang catalog.
Damn.
And I mean, and that's saying a lot. I mean, obviously Ghostface got quite a few too and whatever, but like Return from the 36 Chambers and Nigga Please. Classic shit. He got some shit on it. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
Nah, that's what all I'm saying is, like, that throwback shit lets you take more time with it. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just split decisions. Oh, yeah, that's cool. And then skip it to the next, never to return. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you got that physical piece that you got to take out, put back in the case, find another one, take it out the case, put it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you be like, man, you know what? Let me just rock with this shit right quick. I'm driving. I ain't trying to do all that.
Right. So I'm with you on that. No, I totally agree, for sure. That, and then I've been on some shit where my car actually takes some CDs, too. I forget to put them in there. But, like, and I should have played DVDs, which is hilarious. But You know what I mean? If this, you know, if this was 01, nigga, I'd be killing them. But you know, I kill these nigga. But also, you know, but I have been revisiting a lot of just albums, old albums, albums maybe I've heard the whole shit of, or maybe albums that maybe I only really knew about a couple of the singles, and I just get to the and I listen to the entire album and listen to all these bodies of work, and like, yeah, it's just there's an appreciation that in that comes in retrospect. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, I've been coming across some shit and just some lines that you may have glossed over. Like, I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine earlier today, right? And we was just talking about, you know, it's just a conversation kind of similar to, we, you know, just like feelings and shit like that. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's like, but you know, like dealing with feelings and emotions and all of this shit, especially as a man, right? You know, we've had these conversations or whatever, you know, but so I was just saying, sometimes certain shit lines that just catch you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I caught on to it the first time because I think Nas kind of referenced it at some capacity. But like, Royé is Everybody Loves the Sunshine, right? Mm-hmm. And he be like, feel what I feel when I feel what I feel when I'm feeling. Like, nigga, what? That shit is, it just sounded so crazy redundant at first. It just was a little vibe. But when you think about what that nigga said, feel what I feel when I feel what I feel when I'm feeling. Like, you like, nigga,
not just
I
feel
hear
it,
you.
But nah, when I'm nigga, feeling it.
When I'm feeling this shit. It's like back in the day with White Man Can't Jump. He was like, nigga, is you listening to it or you feel that shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those when you go back in retrospect, certain mm-hmm. shit will like speak to you differently. A line that you heard for the past 30 years mm-hmm. that really didn't mean much, but just a little vibe in the song where you just like, oh, hell nah. Mm-hmm. This shit is crazy. And real quick, just to like, just to throw a button on this Barnes & Noble shit. Yes, that Criterion Collection sale is going on. I'm looking at all these shits that I'm talking about, and they are 50% off right now. So if you are in the market for any new Criterion Collection titles, this is the time to pull the trigger, because them shits do not be cheap. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And they got shit in stock. I think I'm going to have to go ahead and cop.
And this DVDs or CD collections as well?
It's DVDs. This Criterion Collection is all like, it's movies. Like, one of the things, I feel like I've talked about this before, but like, you know, I've been definitely watching a lot of like older movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has been coming from, there's this series, and I've talked about it because I've said I want to do a black version, but there's this series called The Criterion Closet, right? Mm-hmm. And Criterion Collection, you know, they curate all of these various movie titles. And they have people come in and they like go into the closet with all of the titles, and it's like at least 1,000 movies in that shit. And these people, they're filmmakers, actors, whatever, musicians sometimes. And they go through the closet and they pull out movies, and they talk about why this movie is so special to them, what they liked about the movie, and they'll put you on to so many different movies. Like, in some of the movies, they say some shit and I go watch and I'll be like, nah. But other times, I'm like, oh, nah, this was the one. I would have never known about this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know about the Criterion Collection from just way back, like the first. And maybe the only Criterion joint I had was Do the Right Thing, the first Criterion that they did, because that's like one of my favorite movies of all time. And I was like, oh, let me cop this. And I like all of the supplemental shit that they do. They take that shit to the next level. So like, particularly if you fuck with movies, but just in case, if there are movies that you like that the Criterion did, like they... I might even cop it. I haven't seen, but you know, Criterion did like, they did a Criterion version of Menace. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what the supplementals are on that shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's some shit. They got, their catalog is crazy. It could be more like, they seem to be doing better, but like, it could be more black titles. They've been doing it over the years, and like, coming across with some shit. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out for sure.
Nah, because you know, I mean? You know when I used to sell ads, I think Universal had the Criterion collection. I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know I had a collection from Universal, which had movies too, but then and then it may have been a separate Criterion. I'm not sure, but that's I got it confused in my head as it did it involve music as well. But Criterion is definitely a movie house, so you know what I'm saying. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. It's babe, but it's similar to that same treatment of like the box set. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like set. When they do the whole. Yeah, they blow it out.
The box has to be killer. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. Killer substantially and killer financially if you ain't, you know what I mean? If you ain't,
I ain't bought one.
Oh, yeah, true indeed.
True indeed.
Of course. Of course. Now, it's a beautiful thing.
Then I think I gave you the Richard Pryor one, didn't I?
Yeah, and I gave me the Richard Pryor shit. And that shit, yeah, that shit is, that's one of the illest. That's one of the illest. Like,
yeah,
one
that
of the
shit
most,
crazy. I be playing some of that Richard Pryor just in the background sometimes. That nigga funny.
Yeah.
I use one in one of my Instagram stories. You can't catch a lot of his shit on there, but I caught one. I used that shit fit up right quick. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna use that shit. Yeah.
That's what's up. Shout out to Rich.
No doubt.
I think it's time for us to take it to, you know, to the Detroit,
New York, Atlanta.
There it go. Yeah, to the Sauce Awards.
You know what I mean? The famous one. They had a famous Jack the Rapper and a famous Sauce Awards.
Yeah. They like we said, they definitely picking out some moments in history. Mm-hmm. You know? So this was season 4, episode 4, Power Tripping. Yeah, man.
Well, BMF, we started back in Mexico again. I guess that's gonna be the theme for this season.
Yeah, that's the M in BMF is Mexico.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Slowly tell us the Mexico story. This week we started off in the Mexican bodega. They somehow made it to a bodega gas station from the inside of the desert somewhere. And
parched.
Yeah, parched. They in there looking for snacks. And then in comes two police officers, unsuspectingly, I guess. I didn't think they were looking for nobody, but they came in. But Loco wasn't taking no motherfucking chances. You know what I'm saying?
Not at all. And he was Loco.
Yeah. So he like, you know what I'm saying, y'all hold back. Let me see what's going on. He walked up behind them, strangled them and shit. Beat him down, took his gun, guilt him. But then the other one came through with a chopper. That's when Big Meech, Reverend Martin Luther Meech, sprung into action. Beat him down with, you know what I'm saying? But he didn't shoot him, but he took his gun and, you know what I mean? Did Loco shoot him?
Nah, Loco just subdued him. Because they fuck with him.
Okay. Yeah, then they tied him up, stripped them, put them up, tied them up. Loco shooting at their feet like goddamn, what's my name? Tory Lanez and Megan.
Oh, man, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Absolutely, yep.
Was the claim was that he was like, you know what I'm saying, dance. You know what I'm saying, shooting at her feet. So they was doing that whole move on the police officers. And then he gave the gun to Dimitri. Dimitri, your turn, do it. And I guess this was where, you know, Meech got jumped into the Mexican mob.
Right. Became his favorite nephew.
Right.
Exactly.
So Dimitri shooting at their feet, he got a little excited about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, nigga, what is you doing? We ain't gotta do all that. But then, you know, that turned into some ghetto parable of, you know what I'm saying? You got to do shit like that so that you won't do it to the wrong person. I'm like, huh? What the?
It made no sense. You gotta abuse your power on some motherfuckers so you don't lose your power to other motherfuckers. Right. It's like, what, nigga? Yeah, man. I don't get it. I know one thing. T is tired of this shit. He is not feeling all of this Loco and Dimitri bonding.
Gang violence.
Let's just get in the Jeep and get the fuck out of here, dog, before some more cops come. What are we doing?
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Man.
So that's awesome. Then we flash on to real time. We in Atlanta. Meech got the studio in the house now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They in there poaching old, what's her name? Purdy.
Purdy, yeah.
Purdy. You know what I'm saying? You know, he like, you know, you need to come with us, da 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 da. We production specialist. Nigga, what?
That fast. And they got a good home studio.
Yeah, they got a whole
that heavy door.
Yeah, they got a real studio.
Right.
So, but he did have on a fresh ass Carl Kanai shirt. That's one of the ones.
Nice little shirt. Yeah.
That was one of the ones I couldn't afford. And I missed the Carl Kanai era because I was not making no money during that time.
Yeah.
I had a couple of pieces of, I had one pair of Carl Kanai pants, couple of cross color shirts. But I missed that. I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I ain't had a whole kit and caboodle like I was used to having. It was rough at that time.
I'm gonna keep it a band with you. I had quite a few pieces of Carl Kanai because that coincided with my introduction to Canal Street. So I definitely had some fake Carl Kanai, some booty boots, but the shit was, it was working. It was convincing. Right. That motherfucking, that little metal, that little metal fucking shit was metal enough.
Right.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. Shout out to Carl Kanai. You know what I mean? Yeah, salute to you, brother.
But I remember that shirt that he had on. Like, damn. It was tough. Yeah. It was tough back then.
Yeah, they had some cool. Oh, well, real quick on that same thing, like in that, just overall, it had some cool sourcing. Like they had the Carl Kanai shit. Later on, you see T. He got some Maurice Malone shit, which is a nice nod to Detroit.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Yeah, he had the Mo jeans, jean jacket. And then like when they was in the studio, they had a ill little tour poster. Like Big Daddy Kane, Too Short, and all these motherfuckers. It was kind of cool. Yeah.
Okay. They tried to get their Raising Canaan on.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So we fly on back to Detroit. We up in the Flannery's crib, or Lucille's crib at this point.
Right.
And her homegirl is modeling her fur. I don't know when it got out of the closet or whatever. And then she was like, girl, shit. Then Lucille was like, yeah, I'm going to sell that, pawn that. You know, I can't take stuff from Meech. But she was like, girl, you tripping. You got use for this. What you ain't got no use for is that ring no more. You need to pawn that. Like, damn. Yeah.
Crazy.
Then she was like, and go get some welfare shit. She was like, girl, you know, like I still got Charles living here. You know, can't get no welfare with the man living here. She was like, shit, sheesh. What the government don't know won't hurt him. She was like, and Charles right up there with the government. He don't need to know.
Yeah, yo. Estelle, that's her. Estelle, that's her. That's Lucille's outside Sherpa. She about to bring her back in these streets. She's showing her the way, showing her how to stick and move and beat the system and, you know what I mean, play that fur. That fur got that hood going crazy. You know what I mean? But
Sell that fur. Go sell that ring.
Crazy. So, oh, man. Yep.
B-Mick back in the, trying to get back in the saddle. Go to meet up with T at the diner. Boss T at the diner. And they made him script. He like, God damn, nigga, what? And then it got uncomfortable because this nigga's stripping. He got his shirt open and shit, unbuckling his pants, talking about, is this what you wanted? I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was,
the fuck
that
is we
was
doing?
A little much.
What are we doing?
That was too much. What are we doing here? That's some jailhouse shit now. Like, you trying to really break this nigga's spirit?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't like that.
Yeah, that got a little uncomfortable. Then back in the A, Bryant was on the case. You know what I'm saying? Trying to, he figured out Meech right hand man, but he don't got his real name. So
right,
he trying to convince his Atlanta buddies to go. I don't know how he. I guess they letting him call the stings, and then they'll go set it up with their department. This nigga walking through the department like he got a badge.
Yeah, I don't know either. He's like a deputy.
Right.
This nigga,
like, you know
what I mean?
He like Shaq, whatever Shaq was with the sheriff. That's what
right.
he like.
Right, exactly.
So So, you know what I'm saying? He like, yo, I found a nigga. I just got a source. I know these niggas that get money, go to strip clubs, and I could find them. Then he went, I guess he went around strip clubs, got some footage of the dude at the palace where they be, of course. So he came back like, yo, let's round up the troops, stake that shit out. You know what I'm saying? You put a crew outside, I go inside. He like, hey, listen, nigga. We can't do all that this week. It's about the Olympics, you know what I'm saying? The mayor got the chief of police and the vice. We can't just be doing these little side missions with you today. But yeah, so of course, Brian is solo. You know what I'm saying? He goes solo on the case. And at that point, Bryant does go to strip club later in the show. I'm skipping a little bit, but he does go to strip club. Old boy ends up coming because Meech and them went to Sorcerer Wars. They ain't want to go. So he ends up sitting right into the trap. Right. Even though Bryant ain't got no backup, Bryant there faking getting a lap dance, looking all around. She like, well, what's wrong, baby? Get into it. Like, wait, you know what I'm saying? And he looks up and see, what's my man's name again?
Duff.
He looks up and see Duff with the Detroit Lokes on. You know what I'm saying? Detroit niggas used to dance show wear them damn glasses, man. Them same ones.
Buffs. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So, but you know, in good old BMF fashion, by the time old girl kept harassing Bryant, by the time he looked at her and looked back, old boy was gone out the door.
Like, damn. I ain't gonna lie, I was rooting for him. I thought he was gonna get snatched while they was at the Source Awards. Right. Yeah, he smoothed up out of there.
Yeah. I was kind of rooting for them to shoot Bryant, but you know, that wouldn't be
damn.
Cool.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Bryant need to go. Dog. He fucking up the show.
Man. You tired of this motherfucker, all this law and order.
All this stress. Yeah. You bring too much stress to the environment.
Right. Shit. That is funny.
Oh, man. We back in Detroit. Baby mama quit doing hair, but she got her on at City Hall. T over there, obviously we know it. He up to something. You know what I'm saying? He feigning, you know what I'm saying, you know, his love and support of his baby mama and their family. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I don't know how y'all got a family. Nigga, you don't really live there no more. Nigga, what the fuck? But anyway, then he pulls out a bag of money. Can you hold this for me? Can you start holding this for me? She was like, not for you, but for our family. So it worked. You know what I'm saying? So he good at the house. She don't want to give him no nah, but you know what I'm saying? He breaking it down slowly. You know what I'm saying?
Now my question for when she says for the family, which is like I ain't going to do it for you. I'll do it for us. I saw that. I don't know if she campaigning to get the family together because I don't think so. I'm thinking if that's opening the door for her to skim a little bit off the top, you know what I mean? Her own form of welfare where the father could still stay in the household. Mm. But well, who knows?
I mean, of course, this is TV, but I think I was under the impression she was using family because that's how he was using it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He ain't really there, but he keeps saying, you know what I'm saying, I care for my family, you know what I'm saying? Da, 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 da. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Which was a theme, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what they were saying to B-Mick, you know what I'm saying?
BMF.
Yeah, it's family. So
So
I guess that was part of it. But needless to say, she in crime now.
Yeah. And with the Gucci duffel,
right? You know,
which looked cool, old school vintage, with all that money.
It always looked cool when there's a bunch of hundreds in that motherfucker.
Of course, some bundles, bundles of bucks,
stacks on
that
stacks.
That shit bring the luxury out of the bag. You know what I mean? Yeah, that shit look good.
So we go back to St. Louis, where now the plug is rerouting the work through St. Louis. Meech goes up to meet Loco and show him the operation, how they gonna do it. I guess he came up on a big ass warehouse where they could do the cars and all the dope and all the dirty shit, stash house type shit. And Loco wanted to meet the nigga who was gonna be on the ground, which is Jay Push, who's already, you know what I'm saying, pushed to push Meech out the way.
Mm-hmm. Word. Very pushy.
Very pushy. You know what I'm saying? So while in St. Louis, you know what I'm saying, they get that settled, but Loco want to meet Jay Push. And, you know, Meech tried to divert it. Ah, you don't need to meet him. You know what I'm saying? We got that covered. Nah, nigga, we want to meet him. So,
right.
So, you know what I'm saying? They had to set up the meeting. You know what I'm saying? T got to come in and play nice. You know what I'm saying? They get to Jay Push crib. Jay Push crib look a little like Jay Push, you know what I'm saying? Look like he been getting some money and he little... His crib mm-hmm. more settled than him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've
mm-hmm.
always seen him at his mama crib. You know what I'm saying? So now, you know, nigga got shit at the crib. Nice little mementos and St. Louis Cardinals right. jerseys and shit. You know what I'm saying? Still drinking Hennessy out the bottle, though. I guess that's niggas on this show don't have no cups.
Yeah, they ain't doing that.
We reintroduced the Jay Push little brother who was supposed to be the baseball star that got kidnapped and got his shit fucked up.
Right. Yep.
Now he's a
Carver. I think his name is Carver. Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He the gimp now.
Yeah.
So now he's.
They always throwing up crip. That's what they say. He's fucked up.
So now his arm is fucked up. He can't play no baseball. Of course, he's disgruntled. He mad at his brother for putting him in this situation to be in some gangster shit when that wasn't his life. You know what I'm saying? He's Of course, looks up to Meech, who saved him from the situation. Martin Luther Meech, who saved him from the kidnapping. Got him up out of there, you know what I'm saying? Brought him back to his mama, you know what I'm saying? But here's where it all kind of, you start to see the cracks in it, right?
Okay.
Because, Meech told T, hey, man, I'll put aside your differences. And, you know what I'm saying? Get on side with Jay Push because he with us, man. He loyal to us, da da da. And I don't know if Meech is kind of playing it like that when he got other plans. I mean, because he's always three steps ahead of us. Or if he just fucking believes in Jay Push that much.
Mm-hmm.
T don't believe in that nigga at all.
Not at all.
So they're like, you know what I'm saying? The brother talk about going to the casino. T like, oh, that's right up my alley. Now they, you know what I'm saying? Now he on a play date with Jay Push, little brother. They all go to the casino, and Loco, Meech, they sorting that shit out. Loco ain't really talking to Push. I don't think Loco trust Push. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but Meech still stand by him. And then his little brother, the Gimp, gets pushed by some. I guess they Muslim. You know what I'm saying? They had
or the Moors.
Or the Nigerians. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. These little outfits are a little confusing because they ain't get that right. You know what I'm saying?
Or X-Clan. They're very stoic.
X-Clan. Yeah. I don't know what they were going for there, but you know what I'm saying? In the dialogue, they were the Muslims. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Muslim drug dealers who was at beef with Jay Push. So they must be 5%ers. I don't know. Anyway, they pressed up on my old boy. He want to fight. T there to kind of settle it. Like, nah, calm down. I'm going to hold him to the side till we get the doc. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get him up out of here. So on the way home, T dropping him home, talking him down. They bonded over their fucking handicaps from the game. And their
the little brotherness
of it all. T driving this bitch with no GPS in the 90s. Like, he ain't never been to St. Louis before. This nigga know exactly where he going.
Know the way. At the eye of the tiger.
How the fuck did this nigga just didn't even want to be here? They ain't never been here. This nigga rolling, nigga.
Yeah, the nigga Carter ain't even say, all right, make a left here.
Not at all.
He fell asleep. He was so comfortable, that nigga fell asleep.
Yeah, oh, man, where the fuck T going, man? Nigga, we supposed to be in the 90s.
Oh, shit. That's funny. I would think about that, but yeah, for sure. He was moving smooth.
Yes, but from what I see, it's like a crack that T can exploit against Jay Push.
That's the brother, the little brother.
He's a liability. And then Jay Push don't want to see it that way because that's his little brother. He feel guilty about getting him in a situation. He was super proud of him last season or whatever season that was. You know what I'm saying? And now he's seeing the change and, you know, how his brother just going the wrong direction. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to see. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. You know, the good old shit where you eat Flannery's. I guess Nikki working at the diner now with Charles' new love interest.
Cecilia.
Cecilia. You know what I'm saying? She's like, just treat my daddy nice. And I'm like, oh, that's very fucking welcoming.
All of a sudden, you want your father to get nice to tell your mom's that.
Right.
But, yeah.
So then she get pushed up on by the little ousted nigga who got Worm. Reprimanded. Yeah, Worm, who got reprimanded for not following the dress code.
Right.
A gangster T at the diner. And so
I thought the nigga, honestly, I thought for a quick second, I thought maybe Worm was gonna kidnap Nicole.
Right.
And use her as a ransom.
Still look like a usury situation.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because he landed on thick. You know what I'm saying? He like, let me take you home. She let him take her home. She intrigued, and then he told her he go to school. He's learning some history. She was intrigued. No, you're not just a hustler. He's like, you know what I'm saying? So this nigga on the they ain't even on the date. Nigga, the first drive home. I just want you to be proud of me. What? Nigga, you know what I'm saying? It seemed like a scheme, you know what I mean? So, Nikki going down that road, she intrigued with this nigga, you know what I'm saying? Again, the shit where you eat family, you know what I mean? She got it on popping up in that mall, in the diner, nigga, smoking reefer. Like, they
yeah,
like, what?
Word.
They just left you in here to close, just you?
By yourself at a good 15, right. Something 16 years old. Yeah,
come on, man. You gonna this nigga gonna break out a joint in the diner. You know what I'm saying? Right. With an ashtray. That's how comfortable he was with the shit. The nigga had an ashtray.
But let me ask you this though: was this? Because I'm trying to think at what point. Because I'm thinking Bloomberg or maybe prior to that. Were they still allowed to smoke inside restaurants at this time?
Possibly. Yeah, you might be right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
so maybe the ashtray might have been there.
Reefer, though? Yeah.
Reefer's a lot. Yeah. That's aggressive,
you're right. It could.
Especially from back then.
That could be an authentic thing of the times. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? While I'm calling out GPS and shit.
Especially if it's a drug dealer up front, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But,
it's going to be some blunts.
Smoke.
None of the people in the T's crew.
I ain't never seen T smoke no reefer.
I know T's very straight edge.
So
I'm trying to think.
I wouldn't think that.
Beach smoke.
Yeah, but not in the. I ain't never seen him smoke in the diner. I could be wrong. But
he used to smoke in the record store. Remember
that?
That was
his spot.
That's a record store. Yeah, that's his shit. Yeah. True indeed.
You know what I'm saying?
that's when Nicole said, "I can suck and blow."
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, young lady.
Oh, shit. He said, come on over here then. Shit, if that's what you want to do.
She was all in. Fuck that nigga at Morehouse.
Old Breeze. But Breeze was on his way. That nigga Clark. That nigga was on his way out the door anyway. He was in the wind, but she don't even know he got cut. That was what they call that shit when it's a mutual separation.
Right, amicable.
You know what I'm saying? It's amicable. Like, yeah, you go your way, I go mine. Ain't no love lost.
Without a discussion.
You know what I mean? Not at all. It's just understood. Mm-hmm. It's just, what the nigga Jeezy say? What's understood don't need to be said. Right. So there that go. That's how they resolve their whole relationship.
Yeah, they just wrote that shit out of script, but it's okay. Yeah, they put a lot in this episode.
Yeah, they did. You know Nicole is grown now.
Nicole is grown. Preacher's kid. And gone. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But she called it sucking and blowing. So,
so
that's what she's doing. Goddamn. Trail out here torturing the radio nigga back in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So we getting to see his gangster side or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He tortured the radio nigga, told him to play it every hour on the hour. I don't know how that's going to work, but okay. Yup. So then he turns to Purdy. And, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've been thinking about your, you know what I'm saying, restyling your whole thing. She said, oh, you going to let me rap? Hell no, nah, bitch. Let me put you in a group. What? Mm-hmm. A group with some, you know what I'm saying, I don't know, just some, I don't know if they were strippers, but they was kind of naked and snorting coke off the pool table and kind of making out with each other.
Right.
Now, either she going to get in and get out, you know what I'm saying? And then she questioned it. JP snatched her up. I made you. You ain't make me. Don't forget that. Right. Daddy did this. Right. Oh, now is he a pimp or a producer? What the fuck?
I don't know what this nigga is. He's got the coke version of Cadillac Records. All his artists is smoking, fucking snorting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So we'll see. He seemed like he got a little something going on, and he definitely got the fear of God in Purdy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. Definitely. So,
yeah.
Meanwhile, BMF boys about to head to BMF, but before we get, to Source Wars, but before we get there, I think Charles went on a date.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And
yes,
sir. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Him and what's Cecilia? Mm-hmm. They on a date.
Uh-huh.
They done had a great time. They walking. He feeling proud and happy. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? She talking about her ex nigga, Bonte Skip.
Mm-hmm.
He about to put her in the car. This nigga shows up. What you say her name was? Cecilia, do I have to fight for your love every night? He didn't say that, but it was the same type shit. You know what I'm saying? He pops up out the blue. You know what I'm saying? Who is you? Like it matters, nigga. It don't matter.
Are you ready to fight this nigga? You do not need his name.
Exactly. Yeah. So then we got to see the good old goddamn Flannery fight.
Nigga Charles turned into Charles Bronson.
Charles whooped that nigga ass. I'm talking about
beat that nigga within an inch of his life.
Beat the brakes off that nigga. Oh, stop exactly. It, Charles! Stop it! Oh, don't stop me now, motherfucker! This nigga tried
got
me.
Too good to me.
Shit, I ain't whooped the ass like this. Shit, since the 79, nigga.
I got so much stress on my mind. This is the most cathartic ass whipping I've given in a minute.
Oh, y'all. Nigga taking it out of this nigga face.
Oh, shit. Beat a nigga damn near to death. I'm about to go back on gospel tour. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that nigga's a wild dude.
He go home. Oh, yeah, shit. Baby, they called tour back on. Oh, Lucille, yeah. Like, good. I can get this welfare. Like, when?
Get your ass
when?
Out of here.
You're like, yeah, about
these
2 months.
Oh, shit.
I was trying to get this welfare. First of all, the lady told you Charles ain't need to know.
Yeah, you ain't had to tell him that shit. She done pawned the fucking ring for $1,000.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, man.
That I wonder if crazy. That's what she's... Nah, she ain't send that to be big. She sent that shit from the church.
Yeah, it looked like the church, but those fucking hundreds look counterfeit to the motherfucker. I don't know who did the fucking money. That money looked like that shit was straight off a Xerox machine.
Yeah, it's probably hard to get old money in the Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's hard to get old money in Hollywood money. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
You
that's
want to see no new blue bills on that motherfucker.
Salute, though, or real quick to that point, and we get right back to this BMF shit. I remember I sent you that little video, this cat that be doing these little sneaker reviews and talking about the context of it all, but then he pulled out the old currency.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
old
currency. Yeah.
That shit hit a little different. That's them little retro hunnets and shit like that. Nigga, I might have to see if they got those at my local,
drug dealing shit
branch.
You all?
Exactly. You ain't got nothing from back in the day in there. Yeah.
That's that wall money, nigga.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, nigga, that's under a mattress.
T got his henchmen and B-Mick following Markeisha.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They follow her to the jail where she, you know what I'm saying, running a good game on her husband.
Oh, Halliburton.
Yeah. Trying to find some new plugs because the plug that she got, nigga, was probably on firecracker hot.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? obviously she's playing him because when she left, she was smiling. As soon as she turned her back, she was like, let me get back to it. Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they follow her around. They follow her to the jail. Then they follow Cece out with the old police from the last season. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he trying to get frisky, but she playing it off. Obviously, she ain't trying to fuck with the nigga, but she trying to figure her way. But it don't look good. You know what I'm saying?
Optics are bad.
Optics are bad. She out with the police. Then they got T caught up in the police. So Markeisha is kind of struggling at her first ditch effort as a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. So B-Mick, you know, they accomplished the goal. He finished the project. He got a big stack of money. I mean, the money looked way too much for what they was doing, but okay. You know what I'm saying? It looked like he had about 40 racks. You know what I'm saying?
Get your little daughter that surgery.
Get your daughter that surgery, your little daughter. Him and the henchman, they kind of got cool over the course because they were beefing. Mm-hmm. He had some empathy for him, man. He went, go ahead, get your daughter, man. Go ahead, get it right, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He like,
made me wonder, were they setting him up or is he going to be all right?
I don't know, but it was kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Sorry for having to shoot your girl, man.
Right. Like, oh, was he the one that had to shoot the girl? Because I know they talked about Kato.
He just said we had to put her down.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he did it. I can't remember who did it. But he probably was there, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
We had to put her down. And he was like, yeah, I found out later she had my seed in her. He was like, oh, damn, dog, that's tough. Man.
Damn, they thought she was seedless.
Shit.
Oh, man. Sorry about that. Sorry,
price of the game, you know what I'm saying? Markeisha went out with the cop. Meech day in the Source Awards, you know what I'm saying? Purdy, you know what I'm saying? He got her styled up by the little makeup artist, stylist lady that he met on the video set that he been at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's still playing hard to get. You know what I mean? Like, she's upstanding, so we're going to see where that go. I wonder if that's big, if that's Lil Meech mama. I don't know. That would be wild. You know what I'm saying? That'd be wild that he would have had to play that role. You know what I'm saying? So that's cool.
Right.
Shit.
Oh, wait, you thinking, wait.
I was trying to figure
not
out
in
if,
real life.
No, in real life, role, I was wondering.
The character.
I wonder if we're going to, if the character is Little Meech's mother. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know if we got there. We haven't got there yet. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Sure, indeed. Yeah, he ain't got no kids yet. Yeah.
Right. So.
Damn, Meech only got one kid?
No, I don't know. I'm watching the show just like you.
You know what I'm saying? Half a ton in every state, nigga. You only got one kid. You a bad motherfucker. Okay. What else?
Oh, they went to Source Wars.
Yeah.
Funny thing about the Source Wars. Mm-hmm. And they come in and join. They go, big right there. Because they playing Outkast. Yeah. I thought he was talking about Big Boy.
Okay.
And then when they
passed
this pseudo big character, I'm like, where they get this little short ass big from? Short big.
Big and small.
Yeah, big and small instead of big and small.
Big and small,
So they went through there, you know what I'm saying? That's the one when South has something to say. You know what I'm saying? They had a short Suge in that motherfucker too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Dre 3000. Yeah.
I didn't see Dre 3000.
Yeah, well, this time what they did, because I guess they might have learned from the Tupac episode, they ain't give too many motherfuckers no speaking roles, so they just kind of did like a walkthrough. So like they went past everybody's dressing room. You seen the little Wu-Tang, and then it was like, this was the time. They did the Bone Thugs and Harmony.
I saw that
one. It was like, this is when the South got something to say, and you seen a cat walk past with the Braves jersey on. If you watch it again, he had a little Braves jersey on. Okay. I guess that was supposed to be Andre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did give a little speaking role to Left Eye.
Which
one? You know
what
I'm saying?
She was the
one with the Andre Rison tattoo. Yeah.
Wait, what did she do? Did she talk?
She was talking to Purdy.
Oh, I thought that was like somebody interviewing her.
No, that was Left Eye. She was giving her do your thing.
I was trying to figure out who that was. I missed it.
Yeah,
I thought it was like.
I just knew because of the tattoo.
Yeah, I thought it was a journalist or something.
Nah,
because she was asking her like very official ass questions and shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And she was answering them like she was answering an interview. Oh yeah, yeah. Right. But I left Trail and now I'm with what's the name of this nigga's company?
Stomping Grounds.
Stomping Grounds Records. And she's like, mm-hmm. Okay, good luck with that.
What you gonna do, huh? All right, fair enough.
And right on cue, here come Trail.
Yeah, because if you remember in the beginning of that little whatever looked like a little conversation, I don't know if she was talking to Purdy or she was just saying it in general. She was like, be careful with them labels. I had to leave this label and go to that label.
Who said that?
And I don't know if this was around. This was Left Eye. I don't know if this was around when Left Eye left LaFace and went to Death Row.
Oh.
She was like, be careful. I had to leave them that label because they was on some bullshit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And obviously that whole L.A. Reid Pebbles of it all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
And then Trail walks in.
Uh-huh.
Trip shit on that. He with the big bodyguard. Yeah. Of course, when the big bodyguard stepped, Reverend Martin Luther Meech put him back in his place.
Stabilize
that nigga with one move. Ha ha! That nigga backed up. I'm like, wait a
minute.
Nigga
said, no violence. Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy as hell. He said, we'll look into the contract.
Yeah. Actually, like, you can have her. I'll send you the paperwork. Right. Like, damn, that easy?
It was smooth. Yeah, man.
But shit. And then in the end, Loco about to leave. They about to get on the plane. Who shows up on the tarmac but Jay Push?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Push pushed his narrative and, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and stated his intentions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Do business with me without Big Meech.
Right. Flat out.
Loco ain't say shit.
Meech ain't got his head in the game. Now, who's the other nigga? Is that the bigger boss?
I don't know. Probably one of the bigger bosses.
Okay.
Loco
he gave him the handshake.
He was like, yeah, make it quick. You know what I'm saying? He said the shit, I sold, you know what I'm saying? You see, I could sell the shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't know how they know all that, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Loco looking like, oh, shit. Nigga, Meech, you in trouble, nigga.
Yeah.
We about to see. It looked like Meech going to have to, well, you know, the outgoing narrative was kind of like, it's about to be a war with Meech and Jay Push.
Mm-hmm. Jay Push and a little baby war with Trail. Trail looked like he might be gunning for Purdy. I don't know if you saw the little trailer for the next.
I didn't. My shit be fucked up, man. It won't let me fast forward. You know?
Oh, shit.
Go ahead, though. Hey. I was trying to fast forward past the credits, then ended up in some other show. I'm like, oh, man. Then it went back, and then they won't let you fast forward past goddamn the White Power. Commercial.
Right, like, right. They're gonna let you see that. Tommy back. Yeah.
I gave up.
But they teased. There's like a lot of shit allegedly about to happen in this next episode. We got a little dust up, look like a dust up in the club, in the strip club where it looked like Purdy performing, like somebody might try to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what other shit.
These niggas like, love the shit where they eat, boy. They just gonna go right to the same, they ain't got no more locations.
Same haunts. Yeah, you can find me there. Yeah. So we'll see.
Man.
We're gonna see what's what. But that's that, man. Shit. You got any predictions?
You just made them all.
Okay, well, shit.
In the war with Jay Push, I think his little brother is going to be crucial to the crack in his downfall.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, Charles, hopefully he'll make it to tour. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I hope it ain't another good time scenario. Nikki Gas is going to be pregnant before she leave for motherfucking Morris Brown.
Yeah, man. Worm hit her with the sperm. Yeah, man.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
shit.
No.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Lucille, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's finna happen with that.
Right.
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's enough shit. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But yo, let us know if y'all got any predictions. How y'all feeling this season so far? We 4 episodes in. Also, let us know your journal habits. If you journal, do you go longhand or you type it? Do you have a favorite pen? You know what I mean? All of that shit, man. Let's talk to us.
Also,
hit us. Yeah, go ahead.
Also, when y'all hit us up on these discussions, just let us know what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Cause sometimes they'll hit me up and that's like, yeah, they'll answer it, but you don't even know what we talk about. I'll be like, oh shit. And then we had to go back and ask them what we talking about. Then they'll let you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just let me know what we talking about so I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Gave a nigga some context.
Yeah, a little context. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody hit me the other day. It was probably like 2 episodes back. And I'm like, man, what is we talking about?
Right. Once we say it, it's done.
Right.
It's done. So,
but you know what I'm saying? Just bring the context back in there. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. It's all love.
That's what's up. Shit. Until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.